have to bear with me a little bit. I'm not used to having on at least 3 inches of heels. The world's very different without your heels, but I'm being obedient to my physical therapist who told me to be in flats until otherwise noted. Amen. So if you work with me as I struggle to be at least 3 inches shorter behind this sacred desk, did not quite know it was so big. When you have on flats, amen. Y'all may have to get me a little box. I don't know. We're going to just keep praying, amen. I am thankful of this opportunity to stand behind this most sacred desk. It is an honor and a privilege to be a servant of God, but to stand before the people of God to proclaim the word of God is an awesome task that I do not take lightly. So I am thankful to Pastor Armstrong, who extended me this opportunity to share with the people of God a word from God. And I just want to take some housekeeping liberties, amen. I promise I will get you out in time. You all know I don't take long, amen. But I do want to give honor and acknowledge some wonderful people who've been there for me. As you know, I've been on medical leave. I had to have major surgery the 27th of February. A surgery that was supposed to be 3 hours long turned into 5 hours long. A recovery period that I'm still in recovery. I'm undergoing physical therapy. I'm not quite back to work. I'm not quite 100%. But God is good, amen. God is, amen. But through my recovery, there's some wonderful people here at Shiloh. It made the process that much easier. And I just want to say thank you for your cards, your prayers, your visits, your food, amen. Because I had to stay in bed for at least a month and a half to make sure I healed properly because I didn't want any subsequent surgeries, amen. So for the first time in my life, I think I listened, amen. There's always new tricks I have to learn, but I was obedient. And I want to publicly thank my husband who filled in the gap tremendously. And I just want, although he's not here, and I'll tell you why, little Marky's in the soccer tournament. He's on the travel soccer team for Lawrence Hamlet, and he had a soccer game at 8 o'clock this morning. He had another one at 11, so I know that they're here in spirit, amen. But and Mark's the coach. So you have my permission to tease him a little bit when you see him because he's coaching Marky's soccer team as well as his baseball team, amen. So that's why my boys, as I like to refer to them, are not here. And my in-laws, who just was just awesome through my recovery. So Mom, Dad, thank you publicly. Not everyone has in-laws that are standing the gap for you. So I'm just publicly will say thank you for that opportunity. And this past Tuesday, I'm going to get through it. Those of you who are my friends on Facebook, you know I lost an aunt. And we buried her this last Tuesday. She was a special aunt because those of you who were at the picnic a couple of years ago, she had a Mary Kay table. So I don't know if you all went over. That was my aunt. And while I was at the doctor being evaluated to see if I would return from work, my cousin called and informed me that she had a massive stroke. 65 years old. Amen. A massive stroke the same way that killed my other aunt just 2 years ago. A massive stroke that killed my grandmother when my mom was in her third year at Clark College. So we have a history of massive strokes. But God is good. I had to get my mother and my other aunt from Atlanta up here. And to God be the glory. My aunt, my mother, who is struggling with memory, we won't call it dementia because we haven't had a medical diagnosis, but she is struggling with her memory. got an opportunity to tell her sister goodbye. And I'm thankful of modern medicine, not just because physical therapy is helping me stand before you, because just 3 weeks ago, I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand. All I could do was just go from one position to the other, but praise God for modern medicine. I'm standing before you today. And modern medicine allowed my aunt to give the appearance that she still had life, although she was brain dead. And my mother did not have to deal with the tragedy of seeing her sister in that condition. So I'm thankful for God's grace and how God protects you. Amen. And she said that my mom is the oldest. So out of four girls, the oldest and the youngest are still living. And my mom said, my baby sister is just sleeping. So I'm thankful, continue to pray for us and pay our strength. My cousin was an only child, and she herself is on the list to receive a heart transplant at 45 years old. So keep us in prayer. So there is a word from the Lord, amen. So even preachers go through, hallelujah. Even preachers have to walk in the shadow of the valley of death. Even preachers have dark nights. Oh, but God is the joy and the strength of my life. He is the reason I can do all things. Glory be to God. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we're thankful once again of your Holy Spirit, your healing power, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, we thank you because it was no mistake that we came here at this 11 o'clock service to hear this word from on high. So now, most gracious God, we ask that your Holy Spirit come and just anoint our hearts, our minds, our souls. Stir up a new spirit in us, Lord, as we meditate, reflect, on what does it mean to come around full circle in the name of Jesus? Lord, if there's anything here, any hindrance that is preventing us from being one with you or one accord with your holy word, to enter into your holy place, that holy ground where we are in the midst of your presence, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you remove it. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask that now you take this preacher and hide her behind the cross, so that your people will hear a word from you. To God be the glory in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I would like to just spend a couple of minutes on coming full circle. Coming full circle. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Ruth, that short little book, amen, four chapters full of power. Four chapters full of power. I'm going to be reading from Ruth, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the first and the 22nd verse. Amen? The first and the 22nd verse. Stand to your feet to acknowledge the word of God when you have it. Amen? Amen. So Ruth is in the Old Testament or New Testament? Trick question, trick question. Amen. The Old Testament. Praise be to God. Listen for and to the word of God. I'll be reading the New King James Version. Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, his wife and his two sons. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law. They returned from the land of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing reading of his word. Coming full circle. Coming full circle. Now, most of us at some point in our lives have studied geometry, amen? And I was so surprised to know that when my son was in kindergarten, he was studying a form of geometry. They called it math outside the box. So we all have come in contact with some form, some shape, some size, some property, some coordinates relative to space and figures in our life. Let me give you an example of what I mean. It could be as simple as trying to hang a picture in your house. You use geometry. It could be as simple as trying to figure out which container will fit the right amount of leftovers. You're using geometry. Even how you park in your parking spot. I myself struggle with parallel parking, so you know I use geometry. We also use geometry getting dressed in the morning, amen? We all know there's certain shapes and lines and squares and triangles do not go together or should not go together, amen? We also use geometry when trying to determine the fastest way to exit the worship service after morning service. That's not here, Shiloh, amen? I know. Just speaking in general. We even use geometry to describe basketball dunks and football end zone touchdowns. We use geometry in so many ways in our lives that we're not even conscious of how we use it. Well, this morning I would just like to share some thoughts about what it means to come full circle. What it means to come full circle. So first I want to point out one of the things I want to illumine from this scripture, the two verses of the first chapter in the book of Ruth, is when life presents you with a difficult set of circumstances, you must move on. Let me repeat that. When life presents you with a difficult set of circumstances, you must move on. See, although the text does not tell us that Elimelech had a difficult time leaving his native country of Bethlehem, I'm quite sure that it was a challenge for him. Because we know that Elimelech had a certain social standing in Bethlehem. How do we know that? Because he was married and had not one, but two sons. See, back in those days in Bethlehem, you could not get married if you did not have something to marry someone with. Amen? See, if you wanted to marry someone, you had to at least own land or be connected with the family that owned land. Amen? And so on top of, he had to have a certain standing in society, and he had two male children. Something I don't always agree with, but we know in Old Testament times, male children were of higher value than female children. So that put him in a certain classification based on social understanding and ranking. But all of a sudden, something changed for Elimelech. It says, in the days the judges ruled, a famine came to the land. See, his placement in society had shifted. And he knew if he stayed in Bethlehem any longer, that he would not be able to provide for himself, his wife, or his two sons. See, he understood that his circumstances had changed and that he had to move on. His circumstances had changed, and he had to move on and relocate his family to Moab. See, so many of us, I'm going to talk about me, amen. So many of us, when we're faced with difficult life situations and circumstances, we find it difficult to move on. See, some of us, we want to stay stuck in the famine. See, not only do we not want to move forward, we want to stay stuck in a famine and move backwards. But if we are true to ourselves, we know that we will stay in the famine. Because it's something that we prefer to stay in a barren land without trusting God to take us to a foreign country where our blessings await us. And if him. I'm not saying that it's easy for you to move on when you come in certain circumstances. I know it had to be difficult for him. Because you understand, he had to move to Moab. What do we know about Moab? We know that Moab was the son of Lot. Not the outstanding, upright son of Lot. He was the son of Lot's oldest daughter, who Lot impregnated. Amen? So he was a product of an incestuous union between a father and a daughter. So you know how we get, amen? When people aren't quite like us, don't come from the same western section, live in Wilberforce, I'm just saying. So you know it had to be difficult for him not only to leave his circumstance, but leave his circumstance and go to a country such as Moab. But Elimelech trusted God. He understood that the same God who blessed him in Bethlehem was the same God who would bless him in Moab. So we have to move on when we come face to face with difficult situations, and in fact, in famine situations, amen? When there's no hope, there's desolation, we have to move on. But so many of us stay in dead situations way, way, way too long. Because we're just afraid. We're afraid to go to that foreign territory. Because see, they won't act like us. They do things different than us. And I know some of us even say we are better than them. See, we need to start basing our moving on what God can do for us and not the thoughts and opinions of humanity. See, some of us will die because we prefer to do what's familiar than to be blessed in something that's unknown and different. So I'm so glad that the biblical witness gives us a testimony to trusting God, even though your circumstances and situations have changed and you have to move on to a foreign, strange land. See, we must trust God. See, God cares for us, whether we're in our native land or our foreign land. See, we allow ourselves to be stuck in dead relationships. We allow ourselves to be stuck on dead jobs. We allow ourselves to limit God's ability to use us because of our fears. Our fear must be transformed to faith. And we must have the faith that God would never leave us or forsake us. We must have the faith that says, yes, my situation and circumstance have changed, but I'm going to move on. And yes, God's going to take you to a foreign and strange land. But listen, God's going to meet you there. Amen. God's going to be with you as you go over that terrain to the land of Moab. So then we have the family set up in Moab. And I want us to go from when, not if, your circumstances change, still praise God. Because see, your circumstances are going to change. It's just a matter of when they're going to change. See, when Elimelech had relocated his family to Moab, he was blessed. Because you understand that his sons took wives, which meant that when they got to Moab, he was already set up, because we already know you cannot take a wife unless you have something to offer her. And see, he not only took one, but two wives. So we know that the family had done well in Moab. So what does that tell us? If you just trust God in your circumstance and move on, there's a blessing waiting for you. But here it go. This is why I tell you, the Bible is like no drama I've ever read or seen before. Amen. So So her sons get married. They take Moabite wives. And as soon as they take Moabite wives, well, it's a little different. Elimelech dies. But as he dies, look how God blesses Naomi. He blesses her with two daughter-in-laws. Amen? So for 10 years, that's what the word of God said, for 10 years, things were going well for the family. They were on their way to living high on the hog. Amen? But then something changed. See, after 10 years of prosperity and 10 years of blessing, something changed. See, Naomi lost her two sons after 10 years of being in Moab. But see, even though she lost her sons, she still praised the Lord. How do we know that? See, she surrounded herself around people who knew of the Lord. If you look at verse 16, it says she heard that the Lord had visited her people in Bethlehem. See, although her situation has changed, she was still in relationship with people who knew the Lord. See, she never questioned how God was with her. She never stopped believing in God and God's providence. Although she had lost her husband and her sons, she was still around the priesthood of believers so that she could hear that the Lord had blessed her people in Bethlehem. So what does that mean? See, us, when our situations change after having 10 years of good fortune, we prefer to be around people who enable our misery. See, we prefer to be around people who don't talk about how good God is. We prefer to be around people who don't testify that God is doing something new over here. We let people shape our perception that God has dealt harshly with us. But I praise God for the testimony of Naomi, who kept the believers of God around her, even though her situation and circumstances changed again. See, many of us, when we're in a strange and foreign land, we do not surround ourselves around people who have relationships with God. So we won't even know that God is blessing someone or be in the space to receive and be joyous about God blessing someone. See, when your circumstances change, you need to make sure that you have somebody that's around you with a testimony. And see, what I love about the witness of Naomi in this short four chapters of Ruth is that she doesn't curse God. She doesn't stop praising God. Yes, her circumstances have changed, but her faith in God and her witness in God have not. How do we know this? Because her daughter-in-law, Ruth, God bless her soul, she saw how Naomi was still faithful to God. She saw how in those 10 good years, Naomi praised God and worshiped God and thanked God for everything she had. So when her situation changed, it was Naomi who felt that God had left her, but God had not, because she continued to surround herself around people who could tell her about how good God was. Some of us need to take a lesson from Naomi, that when our circumstances change, we continue to come to church, amen. We continue to come to Bible study, amen. We continue to sing in a choir, amen. We continue to lift our hands in praise and worship and thanksgiving when our circumstances change. And regardless of how bad it may have been for Naomi, she still got up and went around people who knew and worshiped God. She was faithful. And we know because Ruth cites her faithfulness as a reason of wanting to go back to Bethlehem with her. See, Ruth had to see something, Naomi, those 10 years. And then those months or so after her sons had died, they said, you know what? That God that you worship, I want to worship him. Because regardless of how your circumstances change, you still found a way to praise him. You still found a way to surround yourself around people who could testify to his goodness. He may not have been good to you, so you think, but you were still able to come to church and praise God. To be somewhere, you know, I love how I just want to touch the hem of your garment because I may not be able to be in the midst, but if I could just touch it, I know I have power. That's what Ruth saw. So she was willing to give up her homeland and say, guess what? I want to go where you go. I want to lodge where you lodge. I want to worship where you worship. Your people will be my people. But most importantly, that God that you praised for 10 years when you lost your husband, that God when you thanked and you gave honor to them 10 years, I want that God. It was her relationship that Ruth witnessed that she wanted to be a part of. And that is why Ruth said, I will go with you to Bethlehem. How she handled the change in her circumstance did not change her worship and praise, her commitment, her service, her belief, her testimony in God. Ruth saw something different in Yahweh. Ruth saw something real and meaningful when you praise and worship God. And Ruth wanted it for herself. Yes, our faith journey, this is a guarantee, my brothers and sisters, is going to take us to a strange land, surrounded by strange people. But Naomi reminds us that we must always praise the Lord. We must always surround ourselves around people who understands what it means to be in a relationship with God, be it good, be it bad, be it joy, be it sorrow, but you still praise the Lord. Because you're in relationship with the God who sits high and looks low and knows everything about your situation. She did not let her circumstance or her situation change her praise. She had 10 good years in Moab, and now things had changed, and it was time for her to go home to her people. And I remember when Mark asked my father for his blessings to marry me. And after my father said yes, reluctantly, no, I'm teasing. After my father, I was a daddy's girl, what can I say? After my father said yes, he told Mark, Marilla can always come back home. And what I understood that to mean is that no matter how bad the situation may become, you can always go back home. See, there's something about knowing that home is always willing and ready to accept you regardless of what you've been through, regardless of what you lost, regardless of what you have. You can always go back home. We also have another biblical example in the prodigal son. Although he had had a fell on hard times and he was eating from a pig's trough, he understood that I can go back home. Naomi said, look, Moab, you did give me 10 good years, but now I got to go back home. I got to go back to where I know I will have comfort and be accepted. Because right now I'm in a strange land. And although the biblical witness tells us that Naomi felt that God had dealt with her a certain way, she still continued to hold on to his changing hands. So that's why I can appreciate the hymn writer when he penned, whatever my lot, God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Because see, what we don't understand is that believers don't watch, those of the unbelievers don't watch the believers as closely when things are going well. See, I want to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to let or when your circumstance or situation change, watch how more closely the unbelievers are going to watch you. It's going to be like a hawk flying around a dead animal. See, unbelievers are just waiting for a reason for you not to believe. See, they are just waiting to see, are you really that holy? Who is that God that you serve? Because they want you to mess up. But praise God for Naomi. She did not let or give the unbelievers the satisfaction of seeing her unbelief. In fact, she believed more so. Now, I want to know, could we have that same type of praise when we hit rock bottom? When we have lost what we perceive, when we have lost everything, can we still hold our head up high and praise the Lord? Because we got to understand, our praise is not for today. Our praise is for yesterday, and the day before yesterday, and the year before last year. That is what we praise God for. So when your whole world has been turned upside down, inside out, you can still praise the Lord. See, when your lights are getting ready to turn off, you can still praise the Lord. When there's not enough food in the house to feed your family, you can still praise the Lord. When you have no gas in your car and you got to get to work, you can still praise the Lord. When that cell phone is on its last red bar, you can still praise the Lord. And when the doctor told you that your prognosis is not favorable, you can still praise the Lord. When you've raised children the right way, but then they want to be rebellious and go in the opposite direction, you can still praise the Lord. See, this type of praise shows unbelievers the type of God we serve. See, what unbelievers do not know is that while you're in a strange and foreign land, God is preparing you for something greater. See, God is fortifying you and preserving you for your breakthrough. So this morning's scripture, I just want to talk a little bit about the women return at the beginning of the barley harvest. They came full circle this morning. See, God has a way of bringing you all the way back around and setting you up for your next round of blessings. See, when Naomi left Bethlehem, there was a famine. There was no hope. There was no life. There was no reason to stay in a dry, barren land. But when she returned to Bethlehem at least 10 years later, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Brand new life. Brand new blessings, brand new opportunities. See, God will turn you completely around to bring you back where you started, to bless you all over again. Now in geometry, gotta tie it. In geometry, we are all on a faith grid, amen? We all fall in different quadrants of this faith journey. See, some of us are still stuck in the same place because we refuse to use two coordinates, amen? We use the me, mine, myself instead of me and God, or God is going to direct you. So when you're trying to figure out why you're still in the same place, check out your coordinates. Because the first one should be God. And see, God is going to tell you where to go on the x-axis and the y-axis. And then your faith will tell you where you fall on that quadrant. Amen? See, we think we can do it alone by ourselves. But the reality is that we need God to move us around this grid called our faith journey. See, some of us are stuck on a 45-degree angle. Amen? See, we are trusting God just enough, amen, that we're not stuck on the X or the Y axis, but we're just a little bit above it. See, we're not willing to allow God to move us. It's that fear that we have that we're okay right here at 45 degrees. We're good. But see, God wants to move you completely around to set you up for something new. And then we have those of us who stuck at 90 degrees. Amen. See, we're stuck between two quadrants. See, we're trying to please the world and we're trying to trust God. See, we're afraid to give God more because of what the world may think of us. Stuck at 90 degrees. And then we have the crowd that's stuck at 180. Amen. Praise God for your 180s. We have made some changes, but not completely. See, we negotiate with God. Okay, God, we'll do half if you do half. Amen. See, we have a 50% success rate of loving our neighbors as ourselves. We have a 50% success rate of obeying the Ten Commandments. We have a 50% chance, amen, of loving God with our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul. But when you let go and let God, God will completely turn you around and plant your feet on better ground. See, when you come full circle, you see how God has carried you through the dark times. You see how God wipes your tears when your time of sorrow. You see how God comforts you in your loneliness. When you come full circle, you see that God has given you another chance, another opportunity. I like how the kids say, God has given you a redo. Do it again. See, that's what I love about God, that when you have your redo or your do-over, it's better than your first time around. Amen. See, God gave to us the person in Jesus Christ a redo. Amen. See, humanity was sinful, headed for destruction. We were stuck at 45, 90, and 180. But Jesus said, Father, send me. I want to go down and give them another opportunity to do this thing one more time. So this time I'm going to give them a better opportunity. So praise God for the do-over in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has washed all my sins away. So Jesus Christ gave me a full circle of forgiveness. He gave me a full circle of brand new mercy. A full circle of brand new grace. Thank God for bringing me full circle on my faith, on my grid of faith. See, now I have an interesting perspective. They call it a 360 perspective. See, you know, a 360 is that you see the whole thing. Amen. See, with my 360 godly perspective, I see that my transformation is on the way. See, you know, I love how it says that when they got to Bethlehem, the barley harvest had just begun. So you have to understand, there had to be a barley harvest so Ruth could go and work in the grain. See, Ruth had to go work in the field so Boaz could notice her. And see, hello, watch me now. So as she worked in the field and Boaz could notice her, Boaz said, look, that's a special woman right there. I want her to be my wife. So guess what? Look at God. Full circle. See, listen. So Boaz says, I'm going to marry her. And who did? So Ruth and Boaz have who? Obed. Who is Obed's son? David. So you have to understand, when you come in full circle, your blessing is going to be better than before. See, Ruth thought just because she was in Moab, that was the end of her story. But she trusted God to say, look, Naomi, I like your faith. I see what God has done for you. So I want to go to Bethlehem with you. Because see, I want your God to be my God. And you see how God set her up. Put her full circle for a better blessing. So this Moabite woman, who's a descendant of an incestuous union between Lot and his oldest daughter, is now included in the genealogy of who? Jesus the Christ. You see how God has a way of bringing you full circle to make your blessing better than before. So I just want to encourage you this morning to Because you may be in a situation where your circumstance has changed. Take it from me with my 360 perspective. Oh, your transformation is on the way. I see deliverance on the horizon. I see your power coming. Just hold on a little while longer. God is getting ready to come to full circle. God is getting ready to set you up and bless you better than you blessed you before. Praise be to God. Amen.